During election season, we tend to focus on the candidates, who's running for which office and why they are or aren't the best person for the job. But the real power of elections isn't about who's on the ballot. It's about the people who cast those ballots. So voters, it's almost time to step up. With the general election 3 weeks away, Californians have a little less than a week left to register to vote. And Oregonians, you have until 11:59 tonight. So now we hear from Oregon's top elections official about how the process leading up to November 8th works. She is the Secretary of State and just wrapped up a statewide tour of every Oregon county to get a feel for this process. Secretary of State Jean P. Atkins, welcome to The Exchange.
Thank you very much.
Why did you decide to spend 24 days visiting every single county clerk's office in our region or in Oregon?
Well, of course, I was a new Secretary of State appointed in March of 2015, and I knew I had some things to learn about the process myself. So in that May, there was a small election, and I visited, I think, five counties on election day or near it in order to see how they went about their business. As people may know, it is actually county governments that manage the elections process in Oregon. They're the ones who print the ballots, who get them out to the voters, and to collect them and tabulate them. So I wanted to know how that worked. And having seen five of them, I then was able to go to a few more, and at some point just decided, let's see if I can see. I had seen so much variety in the way people were handling things, the ingenuity that they have, that they put to it, and yet the commitment to a consistent process, and I wanted to visit with all of them before Election Day.
Well, what sticks out in your mind now that you've wrapped up the tour, some of the feedback that you got from county clerks ranging from places that have, you know, maybe close to a million people living in a metropolitan area versus counties like Josephine, where certainly a lot less resources at their disposal?
Absolutely. And as I say, there's a great variety, a great show of commitment and ingenuity to the process. You know, elections don't take place every day. So for a county to commit the logistics and the space to store ballots, to have the tabulation process go on, to have the election boards do their work of opening and inspecting ballots, that's something that they have to make room to have happen, particularly most often twice a year. This is obviously one of the bigger ones where more and more ballots will be there. So they have to use their space appropriately, and I saw a wide variety of ways that counties accommodate that.
Yeah, you talked about variety in working in partnership with this commitment to consistency. What are some of the varieties that you see? How are things handled differently to try to get the same result here in Oregon, which is that every vote is counted appropriately?
Well, the first order of business is security for ballots as they come in, through the mail and as they are brought in from ballot drop sites around the various counties. In some of our wonderful old courthouses in Oregon, they actually have wonderful old vaults and safes where the ballots are kept all during the process, brought out to be worked on and put back in. In other counties, they are the clerk's office is not in in a courthouse, but it may be in some other office space. One county, for instance, has a situation where they use various conference rooms in the county's building during election time, and the locks are actually changed so that only election workers have locks to those rooms during the time when ballots are being counted. So they all have a commitment to the security of the ballot, but they have different ways of protecting ballots and different needs. They also have different amounts of space for the election board workers to do their work, which is, first of all, to separate the outside envelope from the ballot. The outside envelope has identifying information on it. It has the signature of the voter, which is matched against the signature on a voter registration card. All election workers are trained in how to do those signature matches, and that is the first step of the process. But the ballot itself then has to be removed and separated from that identifying information so that the security of the secret ballot is managed. I visited one county where a very long table is used, and there are 8 election workers, and they actually have little barriers set up for sections of the table so that you remove the ballot in one section, you move the ballot to the next section where ballot inspection may go on, then you move it to a place where it's recounted. These counties have to count and recount to make sure that no ballot is lost in any stage of the process. And it was very impressive how they commit to that and how they use the resources they have to get it done.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Secretary of State in Oregon, Jean P. Atkins. Today we're marking the last day to register to vote in Oregon. You can do that online, OregonVotes.org, or visit your county clerk's office today during business hours. Secretary Atkins, we've been going over some of the differences in how ballots are processed across Oregon. So what I'm hearing here is that there's a secure storage phase, the ballots are inspected by county elections workers, and then they're counted and recounted. Is that the life of an Oregon ballot, or did I miss something there?
Well, the counting and recounting goes on all the way through the process. The ballots arrive and are sorted either in one of a couple of different ways, either by precinct or sometimes by simply groups of 20. Those are taken out and the envelopes are scanned, the outside signature, to make sure that that is a correct ballot for this election and it is a signature of a registered voter. That you got to count again to make sure when you're done with that, nothing has happened to any of the ballots in between. One of the things that I know people are very interested in at this time is our ballot tabulation machines. There are 3 or 4 different types of machines that are used in Oregon. We don't use voting machines because we have vote by mail and people fill out a paper ballot, but it is scanned by a tabulation machine. Those machines are not attached to the internet. The results are downloaded either onto a disk or onto a flash drive before they are then put up on the web for public inspection as to what the final count is. But each individual machine, sets of machines work a little bit differently, and they scan the ballots and tabulate and count and recount again to make sure that they are accurate.
If you have questions about the voting process in Oregon for the state's top elections official, Secretary of State Jean Atkins, give us a call, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org for emails. Secretary Atkins, you're just talking about the ballot tabulation machines. You know, in terms of having a mechanized process for counting, the tabulation machine uploads things right to a flash drive. Are there places in that process, wiggle room for human error, for machine error, for fraud, as we often hear alleged in the campaign process?
Well, there are a good many protections against that. As I say, the ballot tabulation machines are not online. Those are not accessible to the internet. Their information is downloaded by county election workers and then is put on the web for inspection by the public, that the outcome of the election. But the tabulation machines themselves are not accessible to the internet or subject to any kind of internet hacking. We do, in every election season, after the election, do audits of certain races, certain precincts, and in every county, and hand tally the ballots to make sure that they match with what the tabulation machines have come up with. That's a step that allows us to feel secure about the tabulation machines and that they were and have been working appropriately. It's a real advantage of our vote-by-mail system that we have paper ballots that we can go back and track, and hand counts are possible and able to be done as an audit after the election to make sure that the tabulation machines are working correctly.
As you mentioned, Oregon is a completely vote-by-mail state, has been since 1998, actually became that way through a voter initiative. Could you talk a little bit about the plus sides of this, perhaps how it's affected turnout in both primary and general elections, as well as some of the arguments or challenges of vote-by-mail as a complete system without having regular polling places?
Well, Oregon has routinely seen a higher voter turnout as to other states since the time that vote by mail came into effect. It is clearly an effective means of allowing people to make sure that they get a ballot. It avoids the restrictions of a polling place elections where, as we see on TV in the last several election cycles, they wait for hours to get access to a voting machine and may in some cases end up getting turned away because they don't have time to wait. It's a Tuesday and it's a work day and it's a difficult time for many people. So Oregon is giving each person, we really call it ballot distribution by mail. I want to point out that more than half of voters return their ballots by returning them directly to county clerk's office or to ballot drop sites, which are out throughout all the counties. Another piece of learning for me is in some of our larger geographic counties, there are cities very far away from the county clerk's office where there are ballot drop sites, and people are able to drop their ballot until 8 o'clock on election night. And quite often, counties have to rely on law enforcement or sworn election workers to drive 2.5 or 3 hours from those ballot drop sites at 8 o'clock on election night to get those ballots back to the county clerk. There are some challenges that about our vote by mail system that people are very concerned that the mail will not get their ballot to the clerk's office in time, and we have longer delays in service because of some of the cutbacks the post office has done. People need to be aware of that. We encourage people to make a plan for how you're going to return your ballot. If you're going to put it in the mail, give it a week if you can. If it's the last minute, go ahead and mail it, but realize that your ballot may not get there in time. Postmarks don't count in Oregon. It has to be at the clerk's office by 8 o'clock on election night.
And do postmarks count for registration today, or do people need to do that today, of course, being the deadline to register to vote in Oregon? People need to do that in person or online? Do postmarks count?
Postmarks count for registration.
Okay.
Little piece of, you know, of complication in our system. They count for registration, and you can go online, as you said, up until midnight.
All right,
11:59:09.
Right, let's go to a call here. We've got Adam and Eugene on the line. Welcome to The Exchange, Adam.
Good morning. I love your guys' show. During the last election cycle, maybe it was the one before, I was still when Kate Brown was Secretary of State. I believe it was in Clackamas County. One of the voting officials was busted filling in unmarked ballots with a pencil. How did she get caught, and then what were the consequences?
All right, Adam, let's see if Secretary of State Jean Adkins can speak to that. Secretary Adkins, allegations of voter fraud in the last election cycle ring any bells for you?
It wasn't the last election cycle. It was a couple of cycles ago, and it was certainly something that was widely reported in the press and examined. There was someone prosecuted for this, and I think absolutely appropriate steps were taken. One of the challenges that counties have is to, in a larger county when there may be a lot of election workers at a time, is having camera angles and observation everywhere. I think Clackamas County learned a lesson that, in fact, we need to have the ability to observe the election process at every spot and not have any blind spots in your area. But it was detected, it was determined, it was prosecuted. That really is the the one and only election worker violation that in the memory of our elections division has happened, and it was very sternly, as it well should have been.
And you mentioned some of these surveillance systems that even the most rural counties in Oregon and California will have cameras that are on the ballots and the ballot storage area and on the election workers at all times during an election process, especially this year, 3 weeks from the general, we're hearing calls that the election is, quote, rigged, allegations sort of floating out there about the possibility for voter fraud and, on the flip side, voter intimidation. Do you see any evidence to support that in Oregon elections?
Well, it's a great concern to me that at this particular time our clerks are going to be having the sense that the community may not trust the process that they have. And my encouragement has been for the public and for the press to go to your clerk's office and learn how that system works. There are observers from some of the parties who come to virtually every election and monitor the process, and they are welcome to do so. The cameras that were put in, and as you say, even in some of the smaller counties, were a result of the Help America Vote Act, which came after the 2000 election in Florida when there were so many concerns. And they were gratefully accepted to be able to make it even more secure. Certainly, we don't have necessarily the issue of the potential for voter intimidation, again, because of vote by mail. People are not having to go to a polling place and perhaps face demonstrators or people who are questioning their credentials, but instead they're putting their ballot in a drop box or they're mailing it in, and the security, so therefore we have less risk of that. But we do welcome observers to come and see how the process works, and I think they'll be very comforted by what they see.
Just a couple minutes left here with Secretary of State Jean Atkins, Oregon's top elections official. If you want to get in a question, now's the time to do it. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Now, Secretary Atkins, every household in Oregon will soon receive a voter's guide in the mail along with their ballots, or slightly before their ballots. I'm not quite sure there. How is this information collected and what's it designed to do?
Well, the voter pamphlets have been mailed out. People should be receiving them as we speak. They go to every household in Oregon. They are not tagged to only households that have voters in them. And I do want to make sure people understand, just because you got a voter's pamphlet does not necessarily mean you are registered or your registration is up to date. So go and check today to make sure that your registration is up to date with your latest address today.
What's the best way for them to check that out?
As you said, to go to OregonVotes.org and get it done that way.
.gov, right? OregonVotes.gov.
Yes, .gov. Uh-huh. Yes, right, exactly. I say it wrong all the time, which means we're going to have to purchase the .com. So. Uh-huh. But at any rate, the voter's pamphlet is a combination of material prepared by the Secretary of State's office to explain how the ballots work and what to do if you have problems with your ballot, how to get information about extra accessibility if you have a disability, and a wide variety of general information. Plus, in the voter's pamphlet are all of the candidates that are running in your area that you may be eligible to vote for, and candidate statements, to the extent that the candidates have submitted statements and photos, those will be included as well. We also have information about all of the ballot measures that are being put forward, and the pro and con arguments that have been submitted by proponents or opponents. Inside the voter's pamphlet, the statewide voter's pamphlet will generally be a county voter's pamphlet that will have very specific candidates and issues that are on the ballot in your county. Those are separated by a color at the edge of the page, so you can tell where the county part starts and ends. It is, for printing efficiency reasons, in the middle of the voters' pamphlet, the state voters' pamphlet. So you do need to make sure that you, as you go through it, you understand where the state voters' pamphlet ends and then picks up again after the county pamphlet. But it's, again, a lot of hard work by clerks and a lot of hard work by state elections officials. That voter's pamphlet to every household.
One of the most important and unglamorous jobs in our democracy. We've got time for one more call here. Let's go to Roy in Medford. You're on the air with Secretary of State in Oregon, Jean Atkins.
Yes, ma'am. I have a concern about some of the lists of the deceased people that are getting ballots mailed out to them, and what happens to those? What is being done in regards to that kind of a situation?
All right, Roy, thank you for that.
Thank you. There are two protections that we have. Our voter registration lists are matched against Social Security Death Index, which is one of the ways we identify whether or not a voter is still an active voter and still with us to vote, and a number of other matches are made as well, including there are a number of states that will cross-reference their voter lists with each other so that we can know if someone is actually registered in another state. But we have a number of ways that we sort for that. Obviously, death can happen at any time, and a ballot could go out and someone has very recently passed away. I think the other most important protection is that every ballot comes with a signature on it. You sign the back of the ballot envelope that you send in, and that is matched against the signature that's on file that you put on your voter registration card. And that, if it's not signed by that person, our trained election workers who are trained in this kind of matching detect that and will reject it and ask for another signature. We'll go back to the voter because sometimes we get in a hurry and it doesn't look like our signature, but if it doesn't, it will come back. You will be contacted to come and sign again or to confirm that you are, in fact, that voter, and if someone has passed away, it can be detected that way.
All right, an in-depth discussion of the wheels of democracy and how they grind with Secretary of State in Oregon, Jean P. Atkins. Secretary Atkins, thank you for joining us.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.